And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father and God, again, opening thy word, Spirit of God, all that lies ahead, thou knowest. So deal with us and help us to have the advantage. And our Father will thank you even now. In Christ's name, amen. And in a little exercise in the book of Joshua, as we have exercised and looked to God, we have found we are to be reminded. They are to have, and it is time in the Israel's history when they were conquering the 33 kings. And they are doing that. We went back to see the stimulus God prepared them. God prepared them so that they could go forward in a good and healthy way. And so, having said that and keeping that in mind, as they go to go forward, and God help them understand. And they have no question. When they have the second year in the wilderness, they were to go up to Kadesh Barnea and take the whole land at the time. They would have saved themselves a lot of years, but they didn't. Because what God had in mind was to go and take the land occupied by chariots of iron and giants and great walled cities and armies. And they were totally unprepared for that, they thought. They were unprepared, but God was not unprepared. So, but they didn't get the message. So they ended up 40 years in the wilderness, as it were. Now, so the book of Deuteronomy is going to fill in and tell them, after sitting there 38 more years in the wilderness, it's going to tell them to be of good courage and go forward. And we just reminded ourselves at the very beginning, God, before they crossed the Jordan, God told them, in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, be strong and of good courage. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Because it's the only way you're going to do it. Because you're looking at that which is more than, greater than, other than you. And therefore the giants, they were real giants. Goliath was not a make-believe man. He was a man among many, many, many giants. Many giants. And thus it was very real. So, their fears, and they had them. And that's inserted or understood when we read chapter 1 in Joshua in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Now, don't be afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid. There's nothing wrong. It was common sense to be afraid. There's no question. We're grasshoppers. We look like little grasshoppers in the eyes of the Philistines, etc. And be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. Why not? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whether thou goest. So, it isn't it's what you see. You see the giants, etc. But you need to understand in the process, as you see that, God, on the other hand, you don't see God. You see the problem. Do you see God? Question. Just think of what we tried to think about this morning. So, that's what we're going to just remind ourselves of. And in doing so, here we are in history, and we're moving into the future. And the future for us, the harbinger, where are we going? You're looking, the shadow of where we're headed is coming at us. And as we go forward, what are we looking for? What is the world looking? What is going to happen? The world is going to end up facing the God of this world, the devil himself, the prince of the power of the air. And therefore, what's going to happen? It's going to deepen and go forward in all of its variableness as it goes forward. Revelation 13, 4, etc. And now who on earth can make war with the beast? Who dares to make war with the devil himself without God? Now, so that's our perspective. We aren't going that far. But as we get closer and closer, that is going to build. And it's going to build, I assume, rather rapidly because of the communication system in the world. And the electronic world not only is feeding everything to people in their computer, little smartphones and everything else in their, whatever you have to call them. And you're getting the girl out in the street pushes the buttons and gets a glimpse of something on the, I don't know all those things. Not the national news and television, but on the websites and all of that. And they're getting all kinds of information. Fed out. This one's doing that. This one's doing that. This one's doing this. All of them interacting and often in conflict. So as all of that's happening, it's going to be deepening. And the electronic world, artificial intelligence and all that, is going to keep building it. So we're going to get closer and closer to Revelation 13, where no man can buy or sell except they have the mark of the beast. You're getting it down closer. So as we get down the corridor of time, we're closer to that. We're not further away. 25, 40 years ago, we were back here. But now we're up here, and we're closer. And the world right now is in a state of flux and movement that never was there 20 years ago. You would never dream of that, what we have going on. So, now, exercise. Here we are. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Now, God's going to help them. He's going to say it many times. He's going to try to help them. Don't be afraid. You got to have at Mount Sinai, they would have a fear of God. That's what they needed to learn. Plenty of other things are there to fear. But fear God. Fear God. We're just here in verse 9. Here's the enemy on the one hand. And then you see the enemy. And then you see God. Make sure the fear of God over here is greater than the fear of the enemy. The fear of the enemy, the fear of God. God said, make sure your fear of me is greater than your fear of them. Now, therefore, exercise. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And if I may, Deuteronomy chapter 7, picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it. It's an awesome all of it's wonderful, just to be encouraged, actually. Chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy... This is to Israel, to remind them. They're about to cross the Jordan River, etc., and go to battle. Verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, not unto anybody else, not for them, for himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. You were nobody, really. You were nobody. I took you, Jacob, from Egypt. I took you from the land and brought your sons with you. And I let you grow to be a great nation, 2.5+ million people or so. I let you go there for 400 years. And if I looked across the world, and here's China and Russia and Europe and all these countries, they're there, the Phoenicians, etc. But of all the people in the land of Goshen, near the end of the, going into the Red Sea, you were a nation. You were no nation, but you were a nation. You were the fewest people right then, right there. I picked you. Now, verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, etc. Now, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And you're going to show it up all kinds of ways as you look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. And you'll see it in verse 13. We will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And God's going to go, verse 14, and thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, nor among your cattle. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, greater than I, better than I, how can I dispossess them? To dispossess in order to possess. Thou shalt not be afraid. That's a good sign. Don't be afraid of them. Thou shalt well worship, thou shalt well remember that what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh, unto all Egypt, in all of history. How did you get? God took care of Pharaoh at the Red Sea, etc., etc. So as you go down the corridor of time looking at all these things, God's going to go, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, you're going to be afraid, and hornets and everything going down. If I can, verse 23, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until you have destroyed them. And God's going to go in his most wonderful, wonderful way to help and do all that has to be done to help them to understand. So therefore, in God's wonderful way, So when we came to verse 21, back to verse 21, thou shalt not be frightened of them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Now the word terrible goes, remember what you read? You have to turn there, Joshua 1:9. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. That's the word dismayed. Terrible. Don't be terrified. Don't be doing that. Terrified, frightened. So therefore, having said that, over in Joshua 1:9, picking up, if I may, in the light of that, and to terrify, to make, to tremble, to move to and fro, violently, violently, to scare, to be afraid, to make them afraid. So, terrible. No, now go over in the light of that thought. They're going to go and don't be afraid of them at all. They aren't to be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Because if you're looking to me, said God, you have a healthy respect for who I am. So when you look at me, I'm this big. When you look at them, they're this big. So be looking at me so you can look at them. Look at me so you can look at them. Have a fear, a healthy respect and reverence for God so you can look at the rest of your life. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in line, now they were to go to battle. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And in Deuteronomy, picking up, please, in chapter 20. And you will note, now this is their encouragement. They're told how to do over and over. So don't be afraid. You're going to have, there's no problem. You're going to make sure you're looking to me so you don't be looking overly and wrongly at the enemy. Chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Always that. Keep it in mind. You're not looking at the enemy and then trying to see. You're looking at God. Then you see the enemy. You look at God, then you see yourself. You look at God, and then you see your problem. You're looking at God. God. That's why we spent a little bit of going to try some more to understand how do I intelligently, biblically, practically, profitably, pleasing to God, enjoy God. Practically. So, here in chapter 20, they're told they're going to go and not to be afraid. The Lord is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when it shall be, and when, verse 2, and it shall be when you are come near unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now, what are you going to tell the people? They're going to go to battle. What are you going to tell them? And you shall say unto them, always hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. And here's all three different words coming together. Terrified. Don't be terrified. Terrified by them, weak and faith-hearted, fear, trembling, to feel awe, terrified, terrified. Don't be doing that. So now, and when you approach them, so that's what you're going to do. And verse 4, for the Lord thy God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So always always you want, trying to figure out how to win the enemy so much, is you're trying to keep it in balance. No matter how big the tiger is, God is bigger than the tiger. Here's the great rhinoceros coming at you. God is bigger than the rhinoceros. God's bigger. Here's the problem, physical problem, other kind of problem. Here, there it is. All kinds of different ways. Here they are. But God, I look to God, and God sees the problem always. I see the problem as God does. And there is no problem. There is no problem. No, not at all. So the fear I have, or the frustration I have, or the dread, whatever I have here, disappointment, discouragement, depression, whatever I'm doing, here it is over here. But then I look to God, and God, that doesn't, I don't find that in God. I'm not going to find it in God. So therefore I'm going to look to God to outwork his wonderful will in his wonderful way in my life. Now, having said that, we'll jump over a little bit, if I can, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 1. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, if I may. And picking up chapter 1 and in verse 21. Deuteronomy 1 and 21. Behold, I'll read, well, you get the context. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee to go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Don't do that. Don't do that. To Israel, all kinds of things they're going to tell you to, it doesn't make sense to what I'm doing to go forward against such odds, such opponents, such obstacles, such things I can't even handle. I have no control of them. That's true. But when I look to God, it's different. He calms the heart. God said, I'll take care of it. What you need to know, I'm with you. The solution for you to go forward is I am with you. Think of what we're trying to do this morning, to practice intelligently and practically the presence of God, in whose presence we sit. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, and go to chapter 31. Beginning, so the end. Chapter 31. And chapter 131, if I may, chapter 31 and verse 8, if I can. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't be dismayed, torn apart in so many different directions, tremble to move to and fro, to be scared. Don't be. Now, having said that, and keeping hanging on to that, now, back over to Numbers just for a moment. Numbers chapter 13. And remember, 38 years earlier, they're going to go, and they're at Kadesh Barnea. They went up into the land. They were to go in and conquer that land in a most wonderful way. So, Numbers chapter 13, picking up if I can, in verse 30. And remember, they bring the report back. You know it, but get the flavor of it again. And Caleb still the people, telling them, in other words, we're able to go. And the land's a wonderful land. land, even though it's a land of giants and high-walled cities. Verse 30, chapter 13, Numbers. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We're able to overcome the high walls, the giants, and everything else, the chariots of iron. We're able to overcome." He adds to that after their unbelief in his frustration, and he tries to help them some more. Numbers chapter 14, you'll remember. Verse 8, 14 and 8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey, if the Lord delight. So we look to the problem, but we see the problem, whatever it is, and then we look to God. God, are we seeing God in the light of the problem? So therefore, if I see God's pleasure, God's will, I'm looking. I'm going to go by that. I'm going to buy God's, Psalm 31. I'm going to go by God's smile. My times are in your hands, God. And if I see your smile, I see it. I'm going with that. No matter what the problem is out here, I'm going with that. Now, so therefore, chapter 14, verse 9, only rebel not against ye the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Why not? For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. They're bread for us. We can easily do it. We can easily do the impossible. And that's what we're coming up to, back over into Joshua. Coming up, they're conquering. An awesome 7 years. Hardly any loss, little loss of life. Hard to believe. Even now, in God and his kindness in Iran, apparently, we've had very few casualties. Many of them are our own doing. Very few casualties. God's grace. Same in down in Venezuela. And that. God's kindness. That's God's kindness. That is. I got to tell you. Yeah. May it keep up. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, they needed to have that attitude of gratitude. So, over to Jeremiah, and if I can, chapter 1. And what do we know in Jeremiah? Jeremiah, wrong place. Jeremiah chapter 1. And you'll remember, Jeremiah starts out and he goes and says, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7, verse 6. God gives him, sets him apart. Then said I, this is chapter 1, Jeremiah, verse 6. Then Jeremiah said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And, verse 8, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You're going to go to your own people who are going to try to kill you. That's what they're going to do. Your ministry is there 40 years, and they're always going to try to get rid of you. So you got 40 years like Isaiah, and they don't want you around. But chapter 1, picking up in verse 16. But I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, Queen of Heaven, etc., and worship the works of their own hands. They worship their own doing. They made the idols. They made the Queen of Heaven. They did all of these things all by their lonesome. That's what they did. And they're going to try to kill you, Jeremiah, because you're telling them to repent and fix their life. So what, verse 17? Thou therefore, gird up thy loins, tighten your belt, Jeremiah, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee, and be not dismayed at their faces, for I lest I consume thee before them. You stand up against them, stand fast. If you crawl and creep and back off, I'll turn around and make you ashamed. But if you're going to honor me, I will honor you. Don't mock me and make me look like I can't do it, said God. God said, I can do it. When I tell you to do something, looking to you, I want you to honor me. Don't be afraid. If you're going to be afraid, I'm going to make you afraid. And it's all going to fall back upon you. Verse 18. For behold, I have made this day a defense city. I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. So as you turn the pages of Jeremiah, and we could do it, but we won't, don't need to at this point, what are you going to find? You're going to find God saying to Jeremiah, has to keep pushing him, don't be afraid, because they're always after him. It gets weary and you get tired, but you hang in there and keep going down the corridor of time. You do it. God said, I'm with you. Don't back off. Keep looking to me. So therefore now, having said that little bit, over to the book of Joel. The book of Joel, the prophet Joel Amos. And over, if I can, to remind you. Book of Joel, and in chapter 1. Well, chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, and all of chapter 2, remember, Joel chapter 1, verse 4, God says, here's Nebuchadnezzar, remember the image, Daniel chapter 2, the great image of gold, the man, and so here's Babylon, Media Persia, and Greece, and Rome. All of them, the times of the Gentiles, going against, they're taking Israel's place. Israel's put aside. So, all of that's happening. 1, 2, 3. So when we come to chapter 2, we're coming 1, 2, 3 down. Daniel 2. And there's an image going to be in the foot of iron, and then the feet of iron, and the toes of iron and clay. So what do we got? We got a man. We're coming to the day of the Lord. We mentioned it at the beginning as a thought. Revelation 13, who, verse 4, who is able to make war with the Antichrist? Who dares to do so? And no one's going to get away with it. No. Now, so therefore, chapter 2 and verse 11. We're looking at the day of the Lord. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Who can possibly survive the tribulation when I let it all loose and it's war? Now, hanging on to that, verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. An awesome day coming up ahead as we go down the corridor's time. So what are we doing in the meantime, God? Luke chapter 21. And in Luke in chapter 21, and you will note, by May 21, and in verse, you catch it in the context, 21, and in verse 8. And he said, take heed, 21:8, Luke. He said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Don't follow, don't get caught up in the system. Verse 9, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not by and by. You'd have to wait a little more. We have to see it all work out in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. So don't be afraid. Now, back over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, chapter 3, and looking at terrible fear, don't be afraid. And therefore, here we are, us believers, and what are we to know? Verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. You're trying to do the right thing in the right way, so don't be caught up in don't get afraid. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Just try to do the right thing in the right way. That's all. And trust God. Verse 15. How are we going to handle it? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope, the expectancy, the anticipation, the wonderful positiveness you have that is in you with meekness and fear. Look to God. Look to God. Back over to the problem. Here's the enemy. Here's everything out here to think about, worry about, fear, dread, be dismayed, disappointed, discouraged, depleted. Here they all are. And then there's God. I'm not trying to bring God into the depletion. No, I'm trying to see the depletion or the discouragement in the light of God. I want to see it. How does God see this? Is God limited? Is God, what God's what? He has to work out his life in his most wonderful way. Sanctify the Lord's God. Sanctify the Lord. Set him apart in your heart. Make sure he's sitting at the head of your life. You have like the government, executive, legislative, and all of that. You've got a body, soul, and spirit, and you're letting God sit at headquarters. You're letting God be the boss. So when I look to God, I set him apart. I don't close the door and not see him. I keep the door open and make sure he's where he should be, sitting on the throne of my life, looking to God. And when I see him there, I don't see a problem. There's problems, but I don't see the problem. Nope, not at all. So in closing, look to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, if I can. And you will note, if I may go that far, go and look. 2 Corinthians 5, picking up, please, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ as believers. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing what? Us, what are we supposed to be knowing? Knowing, think of what we did this morning a little bit. Knowing it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why do we know that? We're very comfortable. But don't you be comfortable till you receive him as your Savior. Because, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest, clear, public, plain unto God. God knows us. And I trust also are made manifest unto your conscience. Back over to 1 Peter 3 and 15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. So when people ask, you're gonna tell them. And so God, we shared our testimony. We shared our comfortableness. God's a wonderful Savior, able to save us to the uttermost. Now, having read that, knowing the terror of the Lord, I'm telling the world, you better get saved. You need to get saved. And I'm sitting here, and you're sitting here, knowing the terror of the Lord and the judgment seat of Christ and all of this. Therefore, if I can, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, if I may, verse 6. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. Therefore, just the introduction to it. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, by means of faith, not by means of sight. Verse 8, and we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted, well, pleasing to him. That's what we're going to do. We're looking to you, God. I'm telling you, you ought to be aware. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You would never, why don't you have that terror? Because I'm trusting him as my Savior. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to tell you, and I'm trying to tell you, I'm here until I'm there. I'm here until I'm there. And God is, I'm already belong. I'm safe. I'm very safe. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're very safe. Yeah. Awesome God. You bet your boots. You'd never know it out there as you watch everything going on. Ah, but it is so. And you and I are able to sit here quite comfortably and practice the presence of God and not be afraid. Why? Because I look at God and I don't find God as afraid. I don't find God afraid of anything. God has no trouble. He never makes a mistake. And like we shared in Sunday school, he's at perfect peace. All the pieces are always together perfectly. There's nothing missing in any way, shape, about God's wonderful person. Everything is in place. Perfect peace. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will mount God on your heart. Don't be afraid. Yeah. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and your grace. Spirit of God, we thank you for just all of it's where it is. We just need to keep understanding it and thanking you for it. So looking to you with thanksgiving, even now, deal with the heart of the people, the sick that are away, all the different things going on. But as for me, as for Rahat, here we are, trying to get a handle on it and stay with it. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.